we come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded teaching of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled, Yet I Will Rejoice, a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the book of Habakkuk. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
Hello, it is so good to be here with you. It is well with my soul. Is it well with your soul? It is well with my soul. I love that. Some announcements that we have today. First of all, I want to say, this is a brand new day. This is a brand new day, and it is well with my soul. Whatever God has for me, I'm excited for what God has for you today. So in the way of our announcements, I want to tell you about the Breaking Through Young Women's Conference that is on June 13th. It's going to be live streamed, and so you'll be able to pick it up at the same place that you're doing this. And it is not just for young women. It is also for any woman who any woman who wants to know about other people's stories and want to be encouraged by how God has redeemed situations. So join us for that on June 13th, Saturday. Wednesday night, 6:30, Pastor Bill is going to be with us teaching us. Thursday night, man-to-man men's ministry with Pastor Allen. Saturday evening, 6 p.m., begins our weekend services. Sunday at 7:30 a.m., 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and then another service that is different from the morning services at 7 p.m. right here online as well. There is food is still available Monday and Tuesday to those who are from Refuge. It's at 11 to 12 o'clock. You can come and pick it up. You again, if you just want to come and see people and pick up some food, that would be a great thing to do. Also on Monday and Tuesday from 2 to 3, if you're not a regular part of Refuge, you can come and get groceries at that time from 2 to 3 on Monday and Tuesday. I want to encourage you to be a part of the Women's Summer Series that's going to be going on. Again, it's going to be just like this. It's going to be online as far as we know. It's going to start on June 9th. There is no registration, there's no cost, there's no sign up, there's no homework. It's going to be a great time. And as far as your small groups, that's going to be on a, if people want to get together, that people can get together. It's not going to be, probably not going to be a real organized thing for small groups. It's just people who want to get together at that time. We're going to have your scripture writing available for you so that you can continue on June, July, and August to be able to do that. And speaking of August, I received some sad news yesterday. All retreats for Calvary Chapel, all of the retreat centers that we go to have canceled all of their retreats for the rest of the year. So we will have our retreat next year on the same weekend in 2021. It will still be in August. It'll still be the second weekend in August. So I'm excited for what God has. We'll probably do something else on that day, and we will fill you in on what those things are. So next week, we're going to be talking about where we are now and where do we go from here. So be sure to join us next week as well, so that as we finish up this series here. But today we have a very special guest who is going to open us up in the reading of the third chapter of Habakkuk.
The Prayer of Habakkuk Prophet on Shu Yonath. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Timon, the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from his hand, and there his power was hidden. Before him went pestilence, and fever followed at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and startled the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills bowed. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction. The curtains of the land of Midian trembled. O Lord, you were displeased. Were you displeased with the rivers? Was your anger against the rivers? Was your wrath against the sea that you rode on your horses, your chariots of salvation? Your bow was made quite ready. Oaths were sworn over your arrows. Selah. You divided the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered its voice and lifted its hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation as the light of your arrows went at the shining of your glittering spear. You marched through the land in indignation. You trampled the nations in anger. You went forth for the salvation of your people, for salvation with your anointed. You struck the head from the house of the wicked by laying bare from foundation to neck. Selah. You thrust through with his own arrows the head of his villages. They came out like a whirlwind to scatter me, and their rejoicing was like feasting on the poor in secret. And you walked through the sea with your horses, through the heap of great waters. And when I heard, my body trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he comes up to the people, he will invade them with his troops. And though the fig tree may not blossom, and nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. And I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me walk on my high hills to the chief musician with stringed instruments.
Anybody else need to just take a breath? And when you read this chapter, did you feel all of that emotion? I love it. I'm so thankful for Bill to come and do that for us this morning, or today, and tonight, and all of throughout the day. we have got this. You know, God is good. God is good. And I was reminded of a movie that I saw that they always said, good morning, good afternoon, and good night. Every time they greeted someone, it was good morning, good afternoon, good night. And so that's what we greet you with today. So, yeah. Oh, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Father. I thank you for your presence with us. I thank you, Father, for your ministry to us. I thank you, Father, that you have spoken your word to us, and you will continue to speak your word to us today, Lord. And Father God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would anoint this time of teaching. Father, that our hearts would be open to what you have to say, that you would be blessed, Lord, that you would be honored and that you would be glorified, that as we look at the place we are at right now today, Lord God, that we would realize that you have us positioned perfectly. We're positioned exactly where we're supposed to be, and that you have got this. And we thank you, and we praise you, and we give you glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. And so the most important thing to me, and I heard someone else say this, but the most important thing in my life today, and I hope it's in yours, is the furtherance of the gospel. Only the gospel prepares us for eternity. Only the gospel prepares us to see Jesus face to face. We are coming at a time when the Lord is going to say, come on up here. And it is the gospel that we must know, that Jesus came, that he lived, that he died on that cross, that he rose again, that we might have eternal life. That is the simple gospel. That's the most important thing in my life today. So no matter what I'm doing today, even though I can't remember what day it is, I can't remember what time of day it is, I don't even know what is going on in most parts of my life, but today I know I am furthering the gospel. That's what I know for sure. A friend of mine shared with me a dream that she had had recently, and it was a dream of the rapture of the church, and she saw the angels, and she saw the people going up, and then she went into some other things on that dream. Today, that calling up is closer than the day when we first believed. So it is, we talked about it last week, and it's just as real today. So I'm furthering the gospel however I'm able, and I know you are too. Now, in chapter 6 of Esther, we started out the study with a story about a shipwreck. And I'm going to tell you another story about a shipwreck, but I didn't want you to be confused with that one that we started out with on Esther, and then you go, oh, Shel Ray told this story. Nope, completely different story. So in 1851, an English missionary, Alan Gardiner, was shipwrecked. He and his shipmates landed on a small, uninhabited island off the coast of South Africa. Nope, South America. South America. He, over the next 6 months, each man died of starvation. And as far as we know, Alan was the last one to die. And because Alan was a Christian, remember, he was a English missionary, he spent time in God's Word every day until he died. And the last entry that was in his journal that was found next to his body had the reflections of Psalm 34:10. Psalm 34:10, quickly turn to it. Psalm 34:10, which says, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Shall not lack any good thing. In his entry, he summarized his thoughts on this verse by essentially saying, I am overwhelmed by the goodness of God. I am overwhelmed by the goodness of God. How could a dying man be overwhelmed by the goodness of God? In this final chapter of Habakkuk, we discover how to be overwhelmed by the goodness of God, even though the world around us is falling apart. Even though everything around us doesn't make sense, we are still overwhelmed with the goodness of God. God has got this. We remember what God has done. Here in Habakkuk, in this last chapter, he's remembering the things that God has done. Habakkuk will rehearse the great triumphs of God. Turn with me to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. I probably should mark these in my Bible. It would make it a lot better, but you can time each other on how quickly we can get to these scriptures, kind of like the Bible drills of the old days when we were kids. Psalm 37, starting with verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on what? On his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Give him all you have. Commit all your ways to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light. Your righteousness as the light. Remember that word, light. And your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. I'm talking about the fact that there are, I just heard on the news last night, that there are people who are not going to the hospital with heart attacks, with injuries that could quickly have been taken care of, but they are afraid of catching the virus, and so they die before they can get taken to the hospital because of their fear. God is telling you right now, fret not, fret not, fret not. Stop worrying. Rest in the Lord. Let the Lord direct your steps. Let the Lord direct your paths. Rest in him. And by the way, I hope that you will join me in praying against the second wave. That, oh, there's going to be a second wave and it's going to come and blah, 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 blah. That's all fear-induced. It's all fear-induced. Rest in the Lord. Pray against that second wave. Let's see what God will do. God can do great things. Anyway, we got to get to Habakkuk chapter 3 here. So in chapter 3, he is overwhelmed by the goodness of God. So overwhelmed that he writes it in a song and he gives directions on how it's to be sung. Even you remember that first of all, he was a priest and then he was a prophet, and he's going back into those priestly things as a prophet. When he is directing them at the end of it, it tells us how this is to be sung and what it's to be sung on. And it says that to the chief musician with my stringed instruments. So that's how it's to be sung. He had this conversation with God and in the first part and gave him his complaints. He's heard how God heard and would answer. Habakkuk doesn't like the answer and he argues with God. You remember we went through all of that. In chapter 2, he tells us, I'm going to stand my watch. I'm going to stand my watch. What does a watchman do? A watchman looks out for trouble, and when trouble is there, the watchman warns the people. I'm warning you as a watchman. I guess politically correct would be to call me a watch person. However, a watchman, as a watchman, I am telling you, fret not, fret not, fret not. It only brings sorrow and pain and confusion and all those things that probably are never going to happen. So I'm telling you, as a watchman who looks out and sees that this is possible trouble coming on us, don't worry about it. God's got this. And so he, Habakkuk says that he will listen for what the Lord will tell him and how he will be corrected. How are you when you need to be corrected? How am I when I need to be corrected? What are we like when we have to be corrected? Habakkuk was saying, I'm looking for what I need to be corrected in. Lord, search my heart. See if there be any wicked way within me. And see what, and help me to change that. God gives him instructions of what he's to do. God comforts Habakkuk with the knowledge that he's got this. He has got this. He has got this. God comforts Habakkuk with the knowledge that he's got this. Isn't that interesting how the distraction comes when I say, God's got this. God's got this. And I want you to know that whatever you're worried about, whatever you're thinking about right now, God's got it. God has got this. And God says, I'm going to take care of your enemies. Not only will I use them, for my work, but I will also, they will also be judged for their treachery that they are doing. So we've covered chapter 1, struggle and doubt. We've covered chapter 2, God's sovereignty. And that brings us to this song in chapter 3 that shows us that lasting hope. It shows us hope. In the past few months, I've found that the works of the Lord in my life, it was one of the questions in your homework, I have found that the works of the Lord in my life that filled me with awe, that filled me with a lasting hope, that filled me with any kind of hope, was to see how the church has grown while the buildings have been closed. That's the greatest thing that God's done in these last few weeks or these last couple of months. I'm excited about next week and doing the wrap-up and seeing all the things that God's done during this time. It excites me. I want to see the Lord at work renewing us day by day. And so as we get into chapter 3 here, that word, the prophet on Shignioth, that word Shignioth means, it's a song's meter, setting, or tone, and it's mostly carried with the idea of strong emotion, erratic wandering, or wild tumult. So lots of emotion, lots of emotion. And that's what we have in chapter 3. And Habakkuk says, "O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. I am shaken in my boots. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. Whatever you have told me, make it known, Lord. Make it known. Get it out here. Get it out in the open. But in wrath, remember mercy. In wrath, remember mercy. That you have every reason to be upset. But remember mercy. It is because of the Lord's mercy that I am not consumed. It is because of the Lord's mercy that I am not consumed." Habakkuk was interceding for the nation, just like Moses when he had interceded for the nation at Mount Sinai, Exodus 32, and at Kadesh, in Numbers 14. He was interceding for the people. He knew what was coming on them, but he said, "God, I know hard times are coming, but please remember mercy. Remember mercy." And God, and then Habakkuk is retracing the march here. And in verse 3, God came from Teman, the Holy One, from Mount Paran. He's retracing the march of Israel from Sinai to the promised land. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of praise. Do you see that word Selah there in the beginning of chapter verse 3? Selah means stop for a second. Take a breath. Just stop and listen and pay attention to what the Lord's saying. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. The glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. Now, in verse 4, I am excited about getting to verse 4. I love verse 4. His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from his hand. And there his power was, what? Hidden. His power was hidden in the light. The first thing when I read this and I looked over and I go, you know, he is light. In him is no darkness at all. So he is light. God himself is light. And then I got this picture of these rays flashing from his hands. And I thought, well, is that the light pressing through that body that is going out into the world because of the piercing of the hands? Is that what it is? Or is it just he is completely light? And there his power is hidden. He is clothed. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all, none at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. That's verse 6. And there is power, and there his power was hidden. His power was hidden in the light. How do you hide something in the light? You recall as we were going through the book of Esther. Esther's name means hidden. It means star, and it has a couple of other meanings. But put it together, she was a hidden star. She was hidden in clear view. She was hidden in the light, hidden out in the open. Adam and Eve, clothed in light, when they sinned, they knew they were naked. In Colossians 3:3, your life is hidden in the light. Your life is hidden in Christ, in God. He is the light. Your life, if you have given it over to Christ, is hidden in the one who has no darkness at all in him. No darkness at all in him. He is hidden in clear view. He is hidden in the light. Sometimes you want to explain something to somebody, they see something, they just don't get it, and you say, it's right there. It's right there. Don't you see it? No, it's hidden in the light. And so that light is there. And so the Lord stood in verse 6 and measured the earth. He looked and startled the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills bowed. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction. The curtains of the land of Midian trembled. Even though this is talking about taking the Lord stood and measured the earth. He startled the nations. Everyone will stand up and take notice and fall before him. Does that remind you of another scripture? Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every tongue shall confess. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And verse 8, O Lord, were you displeased with the rivers? Was your anger against the rivers? Was your wrath against the sea that you rode on your horses, your chariots of salvation? Your bow was made quite ready. Oaths were sworn over your arrows. Stop and take a breath. Selah. Stop and think. Breathe. You divided the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered its voice and lifted its hands on high. Even though this is talking about God taking care of his people's enemies, I can't help but read into it the creation. It's just a thought. I see the creation in there. You divided the earth with rivers. You made the mountains and caused them to quake. The overflowing of the water passed by, uttered its voice, lifted up its hands on high. Even the waters were praising him, lifting up their hands on high. Was it also the waters that were bringing Noah's ark and put it up on the Mount Ararat there? In verse 11, the sun and the moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of their arrows they went, at the shining of their glittering spear. This refers to an event at Gibeon when Joshua, the Lord worked a miracle in the sky to help Joshua in his battle. Joshua 10, verses 12 through 13. When the sun stood still, the moon stood still, everything stopped for the length of the whole day. For the length of the whole day. It was God who intervened. You marched through the land in indignation. You trampled the nations in anger. You went forth for the salvation of your people, for salvation with your anointed. You struck the head from the house of the wicked by laying bare from foundation to neck. You thrust through with his own arrows the head of his villages. Whoops, I didn't stop and take a breath. At the end of 13. Take a moment. Think about what we just read there. Just breathe. Stop and think. Verse 14, you thrust through with his own arrows the head of his villages. They came out like a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was like feasting on the poor in secret. You walked through the sea with your horses through the heap of great waters. God is seen marching through the land of Israel with and trampling their enemies in his anger. In verse 15, it's reference to them crossing the Red Sea, Exodus 14, when there was a heap of great waters on either side, and the people of God as they marched through on dry land. Habakkuk envisions God as moving through the sea with his horses. So he's moving, so you've got the scene, he's moving through the whole scene. You've got the water on either side. Can you see Jesus? Can you see God on his horses leading them through in victory across the way on the dry land, just as he promised he would deliver them? Verse 16, when I heard, my body trembled, I shook in my boots. He heard of the judgment of the Babylonian invaders. He trembled and determined what? My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones, and I remembered, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. That I might rest in the day of trouble. When he comes up to the people, he will invade them with his troops. He trembled and determined to wait quietly for the event to come to pass. He knew that God was a God of his word. He knew that what God said he would do, he would do. And I am here to tell you today, whatever God has told you he would do, he will do it. Selah. Stop and think about that. Take it for a moment. Let it sink in. You can trust that the word that God gave you, he will do it just as he told you. He told us that he will come again and receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also. Clouds, I can't take my eyes off of those clouds in the sky. I know it won't be long, it won't be long. Old song, maybe you've never heard it. He said he's coming in the clouds with many of his witnesses. He's coming for us, people. He's coming for us, church. He is coming for his people. Look up. Your redemption draws nigh. Habakkuk had faced the frightening fact that his nation would be invaded by a merciless enemy. He knew that many of the people would go into exile and many would be killed. The land would be ruined and Jerusalem and the temple would be destroyed. Yet he told God, he would trust in him no matter what happened, no matter what the situation. I will praise him. Verse 17, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no fruit or food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, even though there's nothing. Even though I have nothing, even though I'm taken into captivity, even though I have no food, I have no more fields, I have no more herds, I have nothing, and there be no herd in the stall, what will I do? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, verse 19. He will make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me walk on my high heels. Not on my high heels, on my high hills. He will make me walk on my high hills. Today I take my stand. And I, with Habakkuk, say, though I lose everything, I will stand. Valerie is in the hospital right now. She has blood clots in both lungs. She's in a hospital room all alone. All alone. Her husband can't be there. The pastors can't come in and pray for her. But Valerie's not alone. She's never been alone. Since the day she accepted Christ, she has preached him. She has shared him. She has prayed him. She has shown people what it is to walk a walk that brings glory to God. She is not alone. She will say with Habakkuk, "The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills." My high hills are different from your high hills. He gives us the strength to stand and to walk and to climb and to grow and to be more than we could be. He raised me up so I could stand on mountains. He raised me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raised me up to be more than I could be. God it is who is raising you up right now. It is God who is at work in your life right now. You are not standing alone. You think you've been in your house all by yourself all this time? Do you think you've been all alone all the time? No one can come and visit. No one can come over. Nobody's called me. Nobody's done this. God is with you. God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He's got you. God gives us the ability to walk. He makes our feet like deer's feet, light and nimble and strong so that we can walk on our own high hills. He gives us all we need to accomplish whatever he's called us to do. God is not finished with any of us yet because we're still here. He is constantly at work in us, constantly. And as our nation begins to reopen, let's remember, I am so fearful that we will forget. But I'm not supposed to be worried. I'm not supposed to fear. Fret not, fret not, fret not. But I'm concerned that we will quickly forget what we have learned in this time of quarantine. God has done mighty things in most of our lives as we have allowed him in. Don't settle for normal. And don't settle for a new normal. What is normal anyway? It's a setting on the dryer. That's all it is. Let's be more than normal. Let's be extraordinary followers of Jesus. God has continued and will continue to make provision for you and for me. God has got this. In this whole book of Habakkuk, we have seen God has this. God's got this together. It is God who has come through for you. It is God that provides for you. It is God that has made his way perfect for you and through you. And I look forward to seeing you next week as we go over some of the things that God has done over these last few months. We'll be talking about since January. So, wow, I can't wait to see you next week, or for you to see me next week. Who knows? Who knows what God will do? But we are excited over what God's doing. I hope you have that same excitement, that same, he is light. We are hidden in the light of the world. And Father, I thank you so much, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you have spoken your word, Lord, that you are here amongst us, that you love us so much, Lord, that you tell us sometimes, like some of us need the little watches that say, breathe, breathe. And you say to us, breathe. Stop for a moment and take in all I have for you. And I want to encourage you right now, just take it in. Just take a moment and breathe in the goodness of God, because God is faithful. God is good. We thank you, Lord. We pray, Father, that we would be aware of your presence throughout the remainder of the day, and that you might have glory and honor and praise to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's be extraordinary for God. Keep doing great things for God.
Jesus, we worship you.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
In the power of your name, I'm giving up.